So, we're reading from the writings of Rabash, volume 1, Love of Friends. It's article number 6. You can ask questions on CAP TV, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. So, writings of Rabash, volume 1, Love of Friends. Love thy friend as thyself. Rabbi Akiva says, it is a great rule in the Torah. It means that if one keeps this rule, all the details are included in it. Meaning, it is taken for granted that we will come to the particular, effortlessly, without having to work for it. However, we see that the Torah tells us, what does the Lord seeketh of thee? To fear me. Thus, the primary requirement from a person is only fear. If one keeps the commandment of fear, all the Torah and mitzvot are contained in that, even the commandment, love thy friend as thyself. Yet, according to the words of Rabbi Akiva, it is the opposite, meaning fear is contained in the rule of love thy friend. Moreover, according to our sages, the meaning is not as Rabbi Akiva says. They referred to the verse, the end of the matter, all having been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole man. The Gemara asks, what does it mean? This is the whole man. Rabbi Elazar said, the Lord said the whole world was not created but for this. However, according to the words of Rabbi Akiva, it seems that everything is contained in the rule, love thy friend. Nevertheless, we find in the words of our sages that they said, faith is the most important. They said that Chavakuk came and declared that there is only one. The righteous shall live by his faith. The Maharsha interprets the things that is most conclusive for any person from Israel at any time is faith. In other words, the essence of the rule is faith. Accordingly, it turns out that both fear and love thy friend are contained in the rule of faith. If we are to understand the above, we must examine closely the following. 1. What is faith? 2. What is fear? 3. What is love thy friend as thyself? The most important thing is to always remember the purpose of creation, which is known to be to do good to his creations. Thus, if he wants to give them delight and pleasure, why are these three above matters, faith, fear, and love thy friend? It means that they need only qualify their vessels to be able to receive the delight and pleasure that the Creator wishes to give to the creatures. Now we must understand for what these three above mentioned things qualify us. Faith, confidence included, gives us a preliminary belief in the goal, which is to do good to his creations. We must also believe with certainty that we can promise ourselves that we too can reach that goal. In other words, the purpose of creation is not necessarily for a select group. Rather, the purpose of creation belongs to all creations, without exception. It is not necessarily the strong and skillful or the brave people who can overcome. Rather, it belongs to all the creatures. Examine the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, item 21, where it quotes Midrash Rabbah, portion, this is the blessing the Creator said unto Israel, regard the whole wisdom and the whole of Torah are easy. Anyone who fears me and does the words of Torah, the entire wisdom and the whole of Torah are in his heart. Thus, we must also use faith to have confidence that we can reach the goal and not despair midway and flee the campaign. Rather, we should believe that the Creator can help even a low and noble person like myself. It means that the Creator will bring me near Him, and I will be able to attain adhesion with Him. Yet, to acquire faith, fear must come first, as it is related in the introduction to the Book of Zohar. Fear is a commandment that contains all the commandments in the Torah, since it is the gate to faith in Him, according to the awakening of one's fear, in His guidance, so one believes in His guidance. It ends there. The fear is lest he will lessen the giving of contentment to his Maker. This means that the fear that one should have with regard to the Creator is that perhaps he will not be able to give contentment to the Creator, and not that fear will concern one's own benefit. It follows that the gate to faith is fear. It is impossible to reach faith by any other way. To acquire fear, the fear that one might not be able to give contentment to his Maker, he must first desire and yearn to bestow. Afterwards, he can say that there is room for the fear that he might not be able to sustain the fear. However, one is usually afraid that perhaps his self-love will not be complete. And he does not concern himself with not being able to bestow upon the Creator. By which substance can one be brought to acquire a new quality that he must bestow? And that reception for self is faulty. This is against nature, though at times one receives a thought and desire that he must abandon self-love, which comes to us by hearing of it from friends and books. It is a very small force which does not always shine for us, so we can constantly appreciate it and say that this is the rule for all the mitzvot in the Torah. Thus, there is but one counsel. Several individuals must come together with the desire to abandon self-love. But without the sufficient force and appreciation for bestowal to become independent, without help from the outside. Now, if these individuals annul before one another, since each of them has at least potential love of the Creator, though they cannot actually keep it, then by each joining the society and annulling oneself before it, they become one body. For example, if there are 10 people in that body, it has 10 times more power than a single person does. However, there is a condition. When they gather, each of them should think that he has now come for the purpose of annulling self-love. It means that he'll not consider how to satisfy his will to receive now, but will think as much as possible only of the love of others. This is the only way to acquire the desire and the need to acquire a new quality called the will to bestow. And from love of friends, one can reach love of the Creator. Meaning, wanting to give contentment to the Creator. It turns out that only in this does one obtain a need and understanding that bestowing is important and necessary, and this comes to him through love of friends. Then, we can talk about fear, meaning that one is afraid that he will not be able to bestow contentment to the Creator, and this is called fear. Hence, the primary basis upon which the building of sanctity can be erected is the rule of love thy friend. By that, one can acquire the need to bestow contentment upon the Creator. After that, there can be fear, meaning fear of perhaps not being able to give contentment to the Creator. When actually past that gate of fear, he can come to faith, because faith is the vessel of instilling the Shekhinah, as it is explained in several places. We thus find that there are three rules before us. The first rule is that of Rabbi Akiva, being love thy friend as thyself. Prior to that, there is nothing that provides a person with the fuel enabling him to modify his situation even a bit, as this is the only way to exit from self-love toward love of man, and the feeling that self-love is a bad thing. Now we come to the second rule, which is the fear. Without fear, there is no room for faith, as Bala Sulam says. Finally, we come to the third rule, which is faith. After all the above-mentioned three rules have been acquired, one comes to sense the purpose of creation, which is to do good to his creations.
Move on.
Clear? No questions?
Ken.
Yes?
Boker tov, chag sameach.
Good morning, happy holidays. From this article I understand that you want something? No. This is the annulment of self-love. How do we teach the public? How do we ourselves learn how to annul that no? Because it's the root of evil. We have to forget about the word no. Only yes, yes, yes. Because with the help of yes, we fill the world with the reforming light. So how do we learn to annul the no?
There are two ways to educate people. One is to constantly whip his hands so he doesn't take something. This method is called ethics. It is false. It is unaccepted by us in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And there is another way that says you have to develop in a person not fear of receiving, but a desire to give. Therefore, we are talking about building the kli, the vessel of bestowal, and not about invoking fear in people. Don't do this, don't do that, you'll suffer, you'll get hell, you'll get all kinds of troubles and problems. Be careful. This is religion. Any religion. They all use it. We don't. The wisdom of Kabbalah must awaken in a person love. Love of people, love of the Creator, and only good actions, good deeds. That's it.
Yeah, but how do you do it? After I leave the lesson?
I don't know. Don't come out. Stay constantly inside, within. That's it. If you go out, it doesn't mean you're under... Then it means you're under an external influence.
Thank you.
More? Nessie, yes?
In the article, it says that in order to achieve faith, first of all, there has to be fear. So can a person control that?
We get faith as a result of influence from above, from the reforming light. It reforms us to the extent of our fear, of our inclination to bestow. There is no coercion in spirituality. There are many degrees in coercion and non-coercion, but the condition, one of the conditions for having no coercion, is that if I don't require the force of bestowal, I will not be given it. I have to require, to demand specifically it, and then I will receive it. So there has to be a demand. And then if I have a certain fear where I want to bestow, and I understand that I can't, but I have to get this strength from above, otherwise I'll never acquire it. Then if I ask correctly, which is regarded as revealing this fear where I really want to bestow, and I know that I can't, and I'm totally dependent on this upper provider, then I will receive reforming light, give them some force, and then I become owner of bestowal. Some force, it's called force of Bina, dresses in me, and I become able to bestow. To bestow in order to bestow. It's still katnut. But in this katnut, I am already above the will to receive, to an extent. This is regarded as having faith above reason. You have the will to receive, called reason, and then you have the force of bestowal, called faith, that allows me to go above my force of reception. It's faith above reason. That's it. More? No, nothing. Let's continue then. Or, yes?
Berik from Kazakhstan is asking, do I have to artificially evoke fear?
Yes. Yeah. In the 10, we don't want to bestow, we don't want to love. Thank God we're healthy people with a good, strong, egoistic desire to receive. Everyone is total beast, four-legged beast. But we understand it, and we understand that we have to be people, human. So we have to try to do what it takes to draw the power of faith. And therefore, we need to bestow upon each other. Bestow what? The greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the power of bestowal. And to the extent that we bestow it upon each other, because no one has the greatness of the Creator, but we act it out. And thereby, everyone's impressed by everyone else and acquire from them a special attitude to the power of bestowal. Because the power of bestowal is great and worth acquiring, that's from the positive side. And from the negative side is, how come they are already in those states and I'm not? So that's from the negativity. So then I get sufficient negative in power and positive power that make me want to be in bestowal. For very egoistic reasons that others have and I don't. But it's enough to start with. So it turns out that through the breaking of the vessels, we were given a chance to become envious of others, Even in things that are not for my own need, but if others have it, I want it too. You can see it with kids. He sees what others have, he wants it. But you didn't want it before. So what? Why do you want it? Well, because the other has it. Tell the other person, throw it away. He's holding a ball, I don't know. So he wants it too. He wants to take from him specifically. He doesn't want something else. He wants to take from him. Drop it. Let it go. He throws it. The one with the ball throws it. So the other guy doesn't want it. The other kid doesn't want it anymore. So he doesn't want the ball. He wants what the others have and he doesn't. This is how we acquire a need for something we don't need. I don't need spirituality. I have no lack for it. But if others have it, how come they have it and I don't? It doesn't matter what it is. They have it, that's it. I become jealous. This is how we acquire a kli. But it's only if we work correctly with each other and not in concealment. On the contrary, everyone shows the others that he's got it. All right? Let's try to do it. Yes?
What you described, you can really see it on children especially. It's very precise.
And you think you're not a kid anymore?
No, I want to exactly ask, what does it mean to see it in the friends?
The same. The same.
How do you see it? What is it?
I'm jealous of them. They got it. Why? How come I don't?
What do they have?
It doesn't matter what. Anything.
They want spirituality.
Spirituality. Corporeality.
What does it mean?
You name it. As long as they have it and I don't.
That they have things in corporeality, this I understand. But what do they have in spirituality that I want?
I don't know. But I hear that they understand. They know. They've got it. They're talking about something like that. What are they talking about? Love, connection. And I'm not in it. Oh, wow. A moment ago, I couldn't care less about it. Now that they're talking about it and they've got it and I'm out of the loop, it makes me just want it.
And when we live among them, I mean, if someone from the outside comes and says, yeah, they talk about love, spirituality, but when I live among them, what does it mean to hear them speak about spirituality?
I don't know, but if you don't hear about it, you won't have any desire for it. You won't get it from above. From above, you'll get only the first awakening. It's called the Creator brings a person to the good faith. He puts his hand on it and says, take this. That's the end of his work. If you are not jealous of the friends, if you don't acquire the desire from the 10, it's hopeless.
Exactly. Because many times I'm not envious of the friends, I'm not jealous. Some of them, yes, but mostly...
Because you're not listening to what they're saying. I hear what they're saying. There's hardly any person here. Well, some don't talk at all. But I still feel them. But if you listen to what they're saying, if you want to hear it, you will be impressed by each and every one. Why? Because he's got different kelim, which you don't. And even if he is the smallest, out of his own kelim, he says things that you cannot attain. And in this, you will be jealous. I'm telling you, you'll be jealous of each and every one. I'm telling you how I feel it. Because everyone has different kelim. So his form of revelation differs from mine. So what am I going to do? On one hand, I'm jealous. But then, I'm jealous of everyone, so what am I going to do? What? Connect with them. And then, you'll have it. Very simple. This is how I acquire. All right? Rami, you wanted to ask?
He says here that in order to acquire,
I can't hear you.
He says here that in order to acquire some new quality, in order to come out of self-love, then you can get only a very small force from the books and the authors, but only when many such, each with a little force, come together, can they reach the goal of acquiring a new trait. There's a need for many people. I mean, there are many kinds of gatherings. There's a lesson, the soda, the yeshivat chavirim, there's dissemination. Yosef says that there's just one condition by which you can reach it, which is a gathering. So what is that?
What is the gathering?
Why doesn't he say that you have to sit, study for 3 hours?
All right, so don't come to study. I guess it's not important.
What is the gathering?
I ask first.
I don't know. I wouldn't ask.
What is the physical gathering? When you're here, are you gathering?
No.
So? What is gathering? It's a question for everyone.
Gathering, it means taking your private desires and connecting them to a mutual desire where your desires, your individual desire disappears. You don't feel yourself as a separate part, but as a part of the collective.
Connection, gathering together, our yearning into one structure.
The gathering of all of our desires for spirituality.
Yeah, into one desire. Itkalelut, intermingling of our aspirations. This is our gathering.
Yeah. Also, Rav answered, he said so on the previous questions, the gathering of all the previous kelim. It's different ways, forms of revelation that this is what we have to build together. Yeah, I think it's the result of annulment. Where one annuls himself and he's impressed with the friend's desire, and this is how you get together. I think that it's also according to the goal. If there are several desires that didn't attain the goal, that they have a mutual goal, then that's already called gathering.
Yes, the goal and the intention, where do we want to get to? It can assemble individuals into an identical direction, even though each one comes with his way of looking at it. But if they aim, if they say, we want together to get there, each one starts from a different point. You can say that's already a gathering.
Yeah, so it actually includes everything, the work of our connection and so on, annulment, integration, arvut, working with the intentions that collect all the desires and so on. All these conditions are called gathering.
When the individual goal becomes the common goal.
Itkalelut.
And hitkalelut, inclusion or integration, is to acquire the friend's desire, to feel it as mine, and by that to collect, Bala Sulam calls it the depleted organs in 600,000 souls, exactly that. Yes, because all in all, we feel, maybe even, we hear, maybe even feel that we are a collection of desires, one desire that was broken, and we need to try and collect it. And by raising a common prayer for collection, for bonding, that's how the gathering is measured. Gathering, as you said, is also a common desire that we want to be as one desire matching bestowal. to gather my attention to what the friends are saying, to be sensitive towards each how each friend is displaying a unique desire that nobody else has, and if I will connect to his desire, I will attain something that I have no other way of attaining. That's it, amount of words of synonyms, connection, and I guess we can continue. Rav, what do we need to get as a result of the right gathering? Please. A feeling of a spirit of life. Importance and fear. Yira. The desire to perform an action for the benefit of the friends. Yes, a deficiency for spirituality. A desire that there will be only a desire to be in the intention of bestow, that will be the common desire. The greatest of the Creator. Suddenly I lack something that I never lacked before. It's important to me to simply be a part of what the friends have, to have a part of what the friends have. Yes, the greatest of the Creator, the importance of the goal, the greatest of the Creator and the importance of the goal, that I will want the friends to have more of it. Rav, how can I depict to myself that I am included with nine friends following the right gathering? What happens to me? In what way do my outlook change, my perception, my power of discernment, the analytic or synthetic power? What happens to me if I am truly included with nine other friends in the right kind of inclusion, the right kind of gathering? Please. It seems to me that then the person loses his own boundaries. After all, it's all in his eyes, also the others. But when he does this thing, then the boundaries that he thinks of, how he thinks of himself, they open up. It's like a gate to somewhere. Yeah, that's nice. This means that the form of my decision-making and my perception of reality now takes into account all the friends, all the nine friends. What should we attain, or what should we improve, or what should we care for? It's with respect to, on the one hand, the common zone of all the nine friends, and in addition, also the individual, each and every friend individually. Seemingly the inspiration from the goal grows a billion times more. Suddenly there are new sounds, new notes. Like you see new senses, you hear new sounds, your holy reality kind of inflates to new dimensions. Yes, instead of bodies, you start seeing qualities of that each one represents a certain quality, up to a point where we truly become a spiritual kli of nine sefirot, in which the form of the Creator is revealed. Rav, so did we ever have a gathering or not? According to the results that each one discovers, that the way he feels, as Rabash writes, how do I come out of the assembly of friends? And if not, then I will never have a spiritual kli.
As ma
so What is the necessity that each one should give in a Yeshivat Haverim or in the right kind of assembly of gathering? Please.
Every friend has to give as much itpa'alut as he can. To show that he's inspired, and he has to do it in every possible way.
He has to contribute whatever he can, internally and externally, to flow along with everyone. Not to be like a tip, rather to be in one motion, to search for that inner motion of everyone, like inhaling and exhaling, like a school of fish, to feel how all of our desires synchronize into a single thing and to develop a sensitivity towards that. And as much as possible, to try to be in repentance.
Rav, at the gathering with the friends, do I have to think about what do I give them or how am I impressed by them? When we get together in the correct gathering, do I have to think about how to influence them or how to receive from them? Receiving good, nice qualities to be impressed by or to bestow and give. What do I examine coming out of the gathering? And why is the gathering of friends called a gathering?
I think that both. What I have to check when I leave the gathering, if you can call it leaving or exiting, is how many forces I have now within me that I can give to the society. With which forces am I coming out? But not forces that inflate me, rather that I feel that I have forces in me that I can pass on outside of me.
Maybe I really examine how much was I able to receive. What actions did I do with myself in order to be able to receive from them according to the measure of the Ensof that they're in?
The ability of each one of us to truly receive or not receive, and this was kind of revealed to me as I was holding the microphone. I have this question that is waiting in my head. I guess we have to exert more in the connection between us and work together.
Yeah. Totally agree. I think everyone has to do whatever they can in order to evoke the connection between the friends, and this is what he gives, and this is what he receives. And if he comes out feeling that there's a connection between the friends and that he's also a part of it, then this is what he receives.
Yes, one has to check at the end of the gathering what he received, how much impression, inspiration he has, how many forces he has with which to bestow to the society. And if he doesn't have importance, it's a sign that he didn't relate correctly to the society. Rav, why, if we gather in an assembly, each one can receive and bestow and one doesn't stand in the way of the other? Why, if we gather, then my bestowal to the society and my reception from the society are not in contradiction, rather they coexist. Please. I become a part of an integral analog system so that each part, it's like a cell in the body that it feels it is sensitive to taking and receiving, absorbing and releasing, emitting according to what is needed around it. It doesn't calculate things anymore according to an egoistic calculation. Rather, it calculates according to a holistic calculation, which is taking the entire system into account.
Yeah, because the gathering we're talking about is an internal one of our desires, where we succeed, that we plug in, we connect to each other's pipelines, and then together to the mother conduit. And so I have constant requests for self-aloneness and to see the greatness of the friends and an endless circulation, and then it's not a problem to receive, to give. Right now, on our small gathering, on this workshop, each of us gives whatever he can, acting out keto. The rest of the time, wanting to receive from his 9 sefirot.
Yes, we truly build ourselves as a system in which there is reciprocity between all the different parts. Each one carries the action in his part according to what the system obligates him to do.
Yeah, and in such a system, we're really switching roles. So there are no calculations like and who gave, who received.
Rab, again, how is it in an integral system where the whole force of bestowal and love and connection dwells, as well as the force of reception altogether, how these contradictory forces equalize in an integral system, and they're included in one another, and they support each other, and there is no contradiction, only complementation. Right? This is why in an integral system, in the right kind of gathering, bestowing to the society is not contradictory to reception from the society. If so, what do I think about? About bestowing or about receiving or about something third, maybe? Please. What is my calculation then?
My calculation is our mutual goal of giving contentment to the Creator. But if this is our mutual goal, and each of us has now a different role in this campaign of becoming like the Creator, giving Him contentment, coming out of myself, achieving the quality of bestowal, meaning as long as we reach, or until we reach this goal, then everyone has their own role. So there is no conflict of interests. Each of us looking at his own, then there is a conflict of interests. But if you see every friend as greater than yourself, no problem.
Yes, first of all, there is none else besides him. And we come to influence to the society, to bring the friends closer, and we get the quality of bestowal. If we perform this action properly, then we seemingly succeeded. We bestowed, we received by bestowing.
This question solves all the problems. Truly, there's no problem in the world that is not a result of the conflict between how to arrange the relationship in society so that on the one hand we receive and on the other hand we bestow. Here we talk in comfort, solving all the problems of the world in the workshop. Truly, there's no problem in the world that doesn't stem from this conflict between the two, and we were merited to hear this explanation, and we hear the answers from our friends. We are sitting with the leaders of the spiritual, upper spiritual worlds at 4 in the morning.
In our sukkah, in our gathering, well, this is the true gathering with which we started this flow of or gathering. This is our gathering. The moment you are in this gathering, in this assembly, everything works.
It's truly your whole life. The Torah is an easy thing. It has to go to a general account, because a person is used to dealing with personal accounts, and once an account begins to be collective, general, then that's it. It's the end of the matter. It feels like we're this lock, you know, like a combination lock. So you have 10 digits, and each one moves himself a little bit here and there to find himself to be the correct digit, and then boom, the lock opens and the king's palace is unlocked. So here we, you know, it's not about which digit am I, but everyone together to generate this series of correct digits that will open the next degree, and then we receive another Rishima, another code we have to crack, and then each one
moves. How in an integral system the force of bestowal takes on the role of the force of reception, and the force of reception takes on the role of the force of bestowal. How in an integral system the forces of bestowal and reception switch on their roles, so that by that we reach wholeness, perfection in the human society, in this world, and also, of course, in the upper system. Please.
I don't
know how it works, but I think the fact that we are positioning ourselves one next to the other. If I take the example that Amit gave in the previous answer, each one can move himself according to how the others move around him. Meaning, if I want to move a little bit and the others don't make room for me, I can't move. Maybe it doesn't answer this question, but that's what I had in my head.
It also seems like, well, the need of the system is what brings the parts that are included in it to exchange the roles. They're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for the balance of the general system. Like you can say that nobody there has a gender. It also changes. There are no permanent things, even like that.
Yeah, these roles, as you said, they exchange according to the momentary need the system has. And they're not according to anyone's specific nature, according to the system. And it can change. Today I'm like this, tomorrow I'm like that, another minute I'm another way, because the general calculation changes.
Yes, because the system is alive and we are constantly in, well, I liked Amit's description, we're in this kind of motion. When Rav asked, it reminded me how our whole body works with the cells, each one receiving what it needs and giving the others all the rest. Now it's working already in our effort. We simply have to discover how this thing is working, and we have to just feel it.
If I understand correctly, as Rabash writes, each one comes not to receive from the society, rather everyone thinks how to bestow. And then, if everyone wants to get the force to bestow, then if he receives this force to bestow, then he receives. He's receiving. But what is he receiving? The force of bestowal. Then they balance themselves out.
Seemingly, my whole calculation becomes different. The calculation is for the system, and then to receive from the system and to bestow to the system, it is all in the same direction towards the same goal. I've replaced the goal of for myself to the collective, the creator. And then all the different actions get on a different meaning.
We rise to adhesion. It's as if the calculation is not with these forces, with these feelings of fulfillment and emptiness.
How do we fulfill the purpose of creation, which is to do good to his creations? We think about the created being.
Well,
what are you looking at me for? I'm done.
How do we realize the purpose of creation? To do good to his creatures. We have to reach adhesion with the Creator. And to receive in order to bestow. And
the intention is what matters. We need to reach the right intention.
To finally see that this goal is constantly getting realized. There's this benefit to the created beings.
To reach to do good to his creations is that he is always caring for us, that we will change our intention. So what can we do? We can only ask of him to finally succeed in asking from that quality of bestowal to change our nature.
Yeah, and with the request to add, we need to make sure the friends feel good, to do good to them. We also have to enjoy it.
Exactly. This is the realization. The realization is only in caring that it will be good for the friends, and it will be good for them if they will be in the same plan, realizing the plan, which is the best possible plan. So if I'll give the friends the importance of bestowal that they will want to bestow, by that I'm doing good to them, just like the Creator. I'm equalizing in this action with the Creator.
Together we become the Creator. Instead of each one seeing reality separately, we see it together. Our desires are incorporated, they intermingle, they reach adhesion with one another, and in this adhesion, this is the purpose, because we seemingly become equal with the Creator.
And it's not in the heavens or later on. It should be right now, every moment. The way should be with joy and blessing and gratitude and inspiration, and it has to happen every moment. And this is what the calculation should be about. The friends should be in joy and inspiration every moment, from the importance, from the greatness. Otherwise, what is it? I mean, we're like, after we wait for something to happen, rather right now we have everything, and we should be grateful for it and make sure that the friends feel it.
Our calculation has to be towards one another. How much push, how much power we give to one another to reach that feeling the Creator is good and benevolent. And this connection we create between us, to put in our heads around us that it wouldn't be the assembly of wicked ones, but ultimately we have to look at one another. There's nothing to turn to outside of it.
What is the question?
I don't
know. Do you know?
אולי עוזרים לכל חבר וחבר להגיע לזה. זאת אומרת, לעזור.
Maybe they help each and every friend to reach that. So to help each and every friend to beget by himself a request, a demand to change his intention.
צריכים לגלות את כל הטוב שברא בשבילנו.
We have to discover all the good that he created for us and enjoy it. And that's what we are learning, how to do it.
To actualize the purpose of creation, to do good to his creations, we can do it only if, as the friend said, we are in it every moment. The moment we bring the friends, we aim the friends, we help them advance in the same direction that the Creator is aiming us, is making it their destination. That way we can in every moment awaken the importance of the goal to the friends and be a service, a serving tool in the hands of the friends and the Creator.
If the Creator wants to do good, we need to receive this benefit and flow with Him in the same direction. Now we do it through this assembly and the development of His qualities. Maybe not qualities, maybe not development. We are waking up to the reality where He rules over everything. We wake up together to the place where the created being recognizes the Creator. We become one creature that recognizes one Creator. Together.
Yes, exactly. And because of that, to constantly interpret and remind one another, what does it mean good to His creations? What benefit does He want to give us to just fill up our vessels 620 times more? There is no such reality of pleasure in the vessels of reception. This is just an illusion. What He wants to do is to elevate us to Him, to become bestowers. And therefore, to work on that all the time.
The Creator wants us to be similar to Him. Just like He's bestowing, we're bestowing.
This is how we come back to our rudimentary state. We come back to the root as far as we are concerned.
And to go back, to return to our root, once again to reach a state of equivalence of form, to generate between us that sensation, that correct attitude, from which every thought is born, every action is born.
לפני שנעבור לחלק הבא של השיעור, נשיר ביחד שיר.
And we'll sing a song.
בשדה קוצים גדול קורא אני בקול תפילת הלב אל המרום עד ינוסו הצללים מבין הערפילים עם שחר הקיץ מהחלום את החי מבקש אני הם חיי הם נשמתי בלעדיהם אני לא קיים את החי מבקש אני הם חיי הם נשמתי בלעדיהם אני לא קיים עמוק בתוך הלב את החי סוחב ובתוכי בוער גלי עבר עבדו עקבות אבל רוחות טובות יובל